Welcome to the Adult Child of Dysfunction podcast, where we untangle the past, rewrite the present, and reclaim our future. I am your host, Tammy Vincent, and together we will break free from old patterns, heal wounds, and create new narratives. Are you ready to transform the effects of your dysfunctional past into your superpowers? Are you excited to get back in touch with your true, authentic self? If so, then hit subscribe and join me weekly on the Adult Child of Dysfunction podcast. Here we will learn from experts as well as experienced thrivers how to turn our trials into smiles while living our most authentic and joyful lives. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Adult Child of a Dysfunction. Today, we have with us Tammy Tony Butler, a former emergency department nurse and sexual assault nurse examiner. Following the whisper of the Holy Spirit, she and her husband relocated to Lee County, Florida. They purchased a 10-acre parcel of land to begin a trauma-focused prophetic healing ministry. Tammy is a survivor of child sex trafficking, was transformed by her faith in Christ, is on a mission to empower survivors to start their transformative journey as they find peace, calm, and serenity. In 2023, Reflective Hour with Tammy Tony Butler was launched in podcast format and on YouTube as a platform for transformational healing in Christ. Tammy has embraced her office as a prophetess, and has become the mouthpiece for God's message of hope and healing worldwide. Welcome, Tammy.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
It's really nice to have you here. And we talked a little bit before, only just a few minutes, but obviously you have a story that got you where you are. So tell us a little bit about who you are and kind of how you got here.
Oh, yes. Well, it was only when I wrote an article published in the National Library of Medicine did I realize what happened to me was not multiple childhood sexual assaults, but was in essence human trafficking. And that really set me on a path of healing, because that meant that my mother, although she's not alive today, would have been considered the one that opened me up to being victimized. I became the commercial sex product to get the rent paid, to have a roof over her head, to have groceries and a place to stay. And so she, you know, tried to survive the best way she could. She had her own trauma, her own issues, and she made choices based in survival mode. And that opened me up to being victimized.
Wow. You know, and it's not uncommon for the people out there listening. A lot of people, they picture the movies. They picture, you know, sitting there and you're walking down the street with your girlfriends and up comes this white van and they knock you on the head and throw you in the van and take you away and sell you to another country. And where realistically, that's not how it usually happens. I know in the county where I'm in, more than 50% of the survivors are being trafficked by their own parents or family members or close family relatives. So what age did this start at?
Well, and that is a great point that you brought up. It's called familial human trafficking, and it is happening and individuals aren't recognizing it. And remember, you know, folks are mandatory reporters if you suspect child abuse, and that's what it is. It's child abuse, it's child exploitation, if they're under the age of 18. I was around kindergarten age, around six, I believe, five or six when it started, that I can even recall. And then it went on for many, many years. I had lost my dad. He came back from Vietnam. He wasn't the same. I divorced my mother when I was maybe two or three. And then he became a police officer, pretty much abandoned me. I didn't see him very much. And then he sadly ended his battle with complex trauma and took his life. And we buried him on Father's Day when I was 15. So many, many years of trauma, layers and layers and layers and layers of trauma. But here comes along my Jesus and he sets me free and I no longer cope, you know, through addiction. I know I can sleep like a baby. I don't have the shame, the guilt, the fear, the regret, the weight of the trauma. I've been set free and there's just so much hope and healing knowing that there's light where the darkness was.
Absolutely. And I'm assuming with you said you had a rant was absolutely amazing. So you do work for other survivors?
Yes, I do. I work to bring the survivor's voice into every arena and every area in the nation and in the world because we are lived experience experts and we are the ones with unique stories of hope and healing and restoration and survival. But more than surviving, it's thriving because we have overcome so many obstacles to be where we are. So I like to empower. I like to break every chain and every yoke of bondage off of those that have been forced into situations by no fault, no issue of their own. Things that have happened to them, they didn't do anything wrong. And that's what I like to bring to the table.
Well, and even with, sex trafficking is obviously blatantly you didn't do anything wrong. I mean, obviously. But tell me, because I know when you grow up in a house, say with alcoholics or just, an addicted parent, and you have that underlying feeling of, even though you're being told all over the place from everybody in society, you didn't do anything wrong, you still feel like you did. You still take that burden on yourself and you. Because your brain does not want to believe that it could be your parent, the person that's supposed to love, protect you unconditionally, that could possibly be at fault. So you take it on yourself. Did you go through that?
Oh, absolutely. And I never told anybody what had truly happened. And when I was asked by the authorities if my mother knew, then I said, no, she did not. Because then that would have meant that they would take me away and I would have been in the foster system or the juvenile justice system. And also, they probably would have prosecuted my mother. So I couldn't bear to do that. How do you turn in your own mother? But at the same time, I went for many years and never spoke to my mother. I couldn't even, I was triggered every time I was around her. But before she died, the Lord made a way and I forgave her. There was no more bitterness or anything on my part. And that was so there was such freedom and power in that, recognizing that she was also a victim and she parented in survival mode. She had no one to raise her. And without someone that had also been victimized. So it's generation after generation after generation of trauma responses and survival mode and coping through multiple avenues of addiction. And so when I recognized that and I looked at her through a different lens and we prayed together, I forgave her. And what she said to me was, she said, if you can keep what happened to our family from happening to another family, then you go and tell my story. Because I'd said, Mom, I may have to talk about you and say things that doesn't make you look very well. And she said, don't let anyone else go through what we went through. Provide a pathway of resources, of healing, of hope, so that I did not die in vain and that trauma did not destroy our family in vain. My father and my mother. So that is what we bring to the table through our ministry, through our outreach efforts, is hope and healing, recognizing that we need Maslow's basic hierarchy of needs met, getting to the root cause of exploitation, violence, trauma, addiction, and wiping it out because we have the victory. The victory is ours and we are taking it. We are no longer victims, we are victors.
I love it. Absolutely love it. And we were in talking. I love that you said the Maslow's hierarchy of needs because we were talking the other day about the Stockholm syndrome and the people that sometimes, that are held captive, not necessarily by a parent, but say another sex trafficker, and they're held and they're the only ones. And someone said, well, how could they go back? How could they escape? And then, 5 years later, go back. And I said, you have so many basic needs. And if only one person is meeting them, that is your hero. It doesn't matter what else is going on. That is the person that you are going to depend on for your life because you need these needs met. Talk a little bit more about that. I love that you brought that up.
Yes, and it's really great that you asked that question because it's so true. And that's how they're grooming these individuals. They're finding whatever it is that they're lacking in, whether it's love, whether it's not having a father in the home, whether it's lacking the money to buy clothes so that they fit in at school, they don't have name brand items, they're seeking things of monetary value, or whether it's advancement up into an organization, into an industry. This person may have all the power over them, and they exploit that need. First, they come in as a loving savior, but we only have one savior, and that's Christ. But they come in wanting to meet all of our needs as this angel of light, and they're anything but that. They come to kill, steal, and destroy. But they hook you. They get their hooks in your brain. They promise you all these things, and they give them to you at first, and they're very kind. But then those come at a cost, and you have to repay them, whether it's for the drug you got, the new car, the purse, the place to sleep. And then you see this demon come out, but that little girl that's lost, or little boy inside of you that wants the love of the father or the mother, they still want that attention, whether it's negative attention. They still crave the uncomfortable, the chaos, the drama, because we had no roadmap before of what, quote, healthy looks like. So we seek love in all the wrong places, and that opens us up to victimization. So if we as a nation, if we as a world, as a city, can provide those basic needs, we as a body, as the church, if we can step in and be that loving savior to where we will never leave them nor forsake them, then we can provide that pathway of hope and healing. And we can shut the darkness down, and we can succeed through his marvelous, victorious light.
You got that right. You absolutely have that. I mean, unfortunately, and it's unfortunate that, like you said, it's apparent, it's out of desperation. Like in your mom's situation, she was in survival mode. She was doing absolutely what she had to do to put food on the table, to do whatever she had to do, and in her mind at the time was probably what she had to do. I mean, it's the same reason people steal around Christmas time. They want to provide for their family, and desperate people do desperate things. That's why I always say, that's why you got to lock your house more around the holidays than any other time, because desperate people do desperate things. And that was clearly an act of desperation on your mother's part, because I can't truly believe that any parent go sets out to do this without there being some kind of, in your mom's case, a substance abuse issue where she just had to do it.
I'm
It's
so glad you brought that up. My mom tried to be a good mom. I remember she would cook for us. She would want food on the table. She would make sure we got home back and forth to school. And she tried to do that. She really did, but she lacked the capability either physically, spiritually, to be able to handle everything that goes along with parenthood. And she had no positive role model. And she had all that junk in her own trunk, as I like to call it. And so she parented in survival mode, but she did the best she could and she tried. But it was when I told her what was happening, and she would still send me on that long walk to that shed at the back of the wood line, the house of horrors, and I had to become a sex slave over and over again and do unspeakable things. It was hard for me not to hate her. But I didn't. I always loved her. And even when I got out and threw myself into being a wounded healer, and thought if I threw myself into my job and my work and helped everybody else, then I would erase the shame and the dirtiness that I felt and the lack of true love. And how could a mother do that to her own daughter? But then later on, I realized as the years went by, I just pitied her. And I just tried to help her. And I would take her and buy her things and make sure she had food. And she never could get past the trauma. So many people are living in darkness, and you can move past that. There's hope and healing because Christ died so we could be set free. By his stripes, we were healed. We already have been made whole. All that shame, that guilt, that fear, regret, all that stuff has been nailed to the cross. We don't have to carry that with us. We are victorious, but what we do have to do is surrender, realizing we never had control then, we don't have control now, and Father loves us. Abba Father is a good father. And if we let him control everything and surrender our lives through our faith, then he guides us, he keeps us, he strengthens us, he heals us, and he takes over. And he gives us the strength to lay that little girl and little boy down that all those things happen to. And that's what we do on our ranch. We help to get to the root. And I have a lot of little girls and little boys, you know, figuratively just running around here at the lake, or you know, our land is like Psalm 23, come alive with green pastures and still waters. And when people leave here, they leave differently because they've shed that little girl or little boy that they tried to hold on to and protect, realizing that's who the addiction was tied to and everything was tied to. So I prophesy today, anyone within the sound of this podcast, you will be set free. You will be healed. I will take that little girl and that little boy with me. They will be here safe and sound on my ranch. And you can truly let them go and truly surrender along your pathway of healing. Never again looking towards the past, but forgiving and moving forward so that you can walk along the path, that purposeful path that you have been chosen for. God knew you before he formed you in the womb. He knew who you were called to be. You walk in that life, you walk in his strength and his power, and you go forth and you conquer, because the power of your testimony is going to break the yoke of bondage off of many. You will set many free through this podcast, through all of you who are starting your own podcast. Let's get our voices out there. United we stand, together as one, united in the love, the peace, the hope that loving Christ brings.
Amen. I love it. Absolutely love it. So I'm going to ask a couple, because I'm asking questions that of people that are listening, because this is a totally foreign concept. And like you said, these kids don't have a voice. Things happen to them. Things are happening right under our noses. Everybody assumes it's far away. It's in another country. It's in the back of a subway, you know, on a subway train. And it's not. It's literally happening right here. So what are some things that you can tell people to look for, to keep an eye out for, because we're all in this together. And like you said, it takes a world of people being aware and providing those needs for kids and providing the needs for people so that this doesn't happen. But what are some things to be aware of for people to look for?
Well, you want to look for it, especially in the school systems, if they are being truant, if they're sleepy in class, if they show up with a large amount of cash in their wallet, multiple hotel keys, multiple prepaid debit cards, if they have more than one cell phone, if they have brand new clothing and items that cost a lot of money, if they suddenly have possession of a car, you know, the transportation is a big issue and they want to offer them transportation and these very expensive luxury cars and things that they have access to. So they get them into the life, into enjoying this lifestyle. And it's those things that they can get addicted to and hooked to. So if your child shows up with those things, or suddenly a new friend is coming around or a new boyfriend, and they're providing these things and they're staying out, staying away from the house, or if they have a change in behavior. And also we have to be aware if they're spending a lot of time in the bathroom, if they with the doors locked, then they could also be a victim of what we call sextortion. And many children are killing themselves. Youth suicide is increasing because of this sextortion, this sexual exploitation through these technology platforms, technology facilitated coercive control. There is legislation right now before Congress, and we need to act and pass it. But right now, Congress has refused to act. They have failed year after year after year to rein in social media and these platforms that are extorting and opening up our children, God's children, to victimization. And make no mistake, he's not happy. God wants his children protected, and he wants this legislation passed. And that is the things that we understand and realize. There's also, I co-founded Nurses United Against Human Trafficking. Nurses United Against Human Trafficking. And Dr. Francine Bononera runs that now. But we have a detailed, comprehensive, accredited, approved learning management system that you can go there, especially if you're a healthcare provider of any kind. medical, dental, doctor, you name it, nurse, anyone, if you're a teacher, if you're in the court system, judicial system, you can go there and take the training and get hours for it. And it's free with the membership. There are different tiers of memberships, and half the proceeds do go to nonprofits and my nonprofit for our direct work. So you can go there and you can get tons of resources. There's free downloadable resources on their page that you can print out, shoe cards, you can print out red flags, school resources if you're a school teacher, plethora of information. Also, the Department of Homeland Security's Blue Campaign, they have tons of resources, NetSmarts, and those items.
Perfect. Are you going to put can we put the link in the show notes for people so they can go right there, directly there?
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, that
Absolutely.
sounds great because people are uneducated. I mean, there's so many different things in the world that we're uneducated about, and that's why it takes advocates like you, like me. I work with a lot of adult children of alcoholics and dysfunctional families. So I work with all the coping skills and all that mess that it's entailed. But I love that you say to go about it and with the empathy and the compassion. You made a comment before and you said about your mother, and you said, I wasn't angry with her anymore. I pitied her. I had, and I kind of look at that with my mother. Same thing. What happened was inexcusable, but she was battling her own demons. She was a chronic alcoholic. She was a drug user. That's kind of where my heart is, where you're at, kind of. At one point she thought it was okay for me to pay her drug debts, and that was never okay. That's not something we do. But it was hard not to be angry. But when you I wish I had known then. I wish somebody had been out there screaming on the streets back then, because had I been able to look at it with that empathy and that compassion that I had years later, would have been a totally different ball game. I would have come out of it so much better, and so with so much more understanding and compassion, like you said, and empathy. Now I don't have hard feelings toward my mother. Back then, I wanted to end her life. But there's that, and that forgiveness. You talk about that forgiveness, but that's for you to let go of that anger and that pain. You cannot move on when you hold the anger and the pain, but it's hard. So talk to me, where did you start? Like, have you always had Christ in your life?
Oh, that's such a great question. I had a beef with God for a long time. I used to
Me
sit in
too.
the bathroom, huddled with the door locked, and read the scriptures, trying to find hope and healing in the scriptures and a way out, begging God to save me, to not let him come and not be on the other side of that bedroom door or that bathroom door. But the voice came and I had to get out and I closed my Bible and I had to go out and perform unspeakable acts. God didn't save me then. I had a hard time for years. And then layer upon layer of trauma, and then the loss of my dad, because I had said, well, I'll go live with my dad. That's it. I'll have a way out of all these things, because I knew my mother would open me up to victimization again and again and again. And it happened. And then I got the call that my dad had died by suicide, and we buried him on Father's Day. And I really was like, okay, God, this is a raw set of cards here. But there was something inside of me that even at the hospital would seek out the church or the sanctuary or the chapel within every ER that I worked. And I was an ER nurse for over 30 years, boots on the ground, around 30 years, I should say, 28, 30 years. And I would seek out everything. I would go and I would just sit there with my hands on the Bible. I couldn't say a word because I felt too dirty and shameful. And how could a God like that love me? And where was he? Later, though, I look back at the more I learned about trafficking, the more I learned about what happened and how I was being groomed. There were so many times that I was being groomed and didn't know it. There were so many times that I could have been killed. I look back and he saved my life on more than one occasion. But remember, we have free will. I didn't invite him into my mess as an adult. I didn't ask him to. And there are some things I won't have answers for. But remember, my mother was in charge of protecting me. She had free will. She opened me up to victimization and evil, not God. My mom chose that dark pathway, as many are choosing that dark pathway. But we have free will, and sin has consequences. And so my mother opened me up, but the devil wants us to have a beef with God and think it's God, but it wasn't. I remember he brought a man into my mother's life at the same time I called the boogeyman, the evil one came into her life. And I remember that man was very kind. And I thought, oh boy, she'd just marry him. She didn't. She chose the boogeyman. She had a choice between darkness and light. And you will be faced with a choice of darkness and light. And you're knowing in your gut, in your conscience, that's the Holy Spirit trying to stop you from going down a path of destruction. But again, we have free will. He's a gentleman. He'll never force himself on us. He'll never exert his will, because then we don't have free choice. And then he's a bully. And that's not the God we serve. We
Right.
serve a God that is good, who a good, loving father. And so when I realized that, my faith really exploded. I heard the whisper more. And then I became his oracle, his mouthpiece. He sends me on errands everywhere. And my faith just exploded. And he helped me shed every chain, he shed my food addiction, everything. And I just owe him everything. And I see now how he was working in my life, even back then. But either I chose the dark and I couldn't reach out to him, or either I didn't know it, or I was too young to understand. And I came under the covering of my parents, but they couldn't cover me. And that's why we really need to seek his loving embrace and recognize that he can deliver us out of Egypt.
You know, and it's funny because I think back, I was actually just writing a little short story for a book that I'm co-authoring in a couple months. And I was laughing because it was a letter to myself. And I can remember when I was a kid and I used to sit there and I used to say, you know, God, who is going to save me? Like I'd be hiding in a crawl space or something. And all I could remember hearing was Tammy, Tammy, Tammy. And I was like, don't mock me. Like, seriously, like I'm asking for help. And this happened several times throughout my life until it was finally when I was about 26. I was like, maybe he's saying that I need to save me. And it
Oh,
was.
that's good.
And I was like, oh my gosh, I've been hearing this my whole life and being like, don't mock me. Like, it's not funny. I'm asking. Like, I could picture, you know, like Tammy, Tammy, Tammy. Where really, now that I look back at it, I truly think he was going, Tammy, you're going to save you. Tammy's going to save you. Like, you have to do it. So, and I always say now, like, that's my biggest thing. I mean, that's what I talk about, is between you and your higher spirit, you got everything you need. You got everything you need. You don't have to look for outside forces. You don't have to look for anything. Because you got it all inside you, as long as you have you and your higher power, you know. And I know a lot of people will say, well, what is that higher power? And I know what that higher power is to me, if you know. And when I coach people that maybe don't think it's God, and I'll say, well, whatever you need to believe in, you believe it's something bigger than you, right? And they're like, oh yeah, I didn't do all this. And I'm like, okay, then believe in that, whatever it is. I know what's going to help them out. So like, you just think in your own mind, whatever you need to think to help you get through this, but I know what's going to step in and help you out. So it's just, but it is funny that you do, it's hard. And I spend a lot of time with people when they're like, well, wasn't there for me. Well, yeah, he kind of was, because you're standing here today. And if you're standing here today, so there's a reason. Like, start questioning why, start questioning, you know, not what happened to me, but what happened for me. Use it. Like, you're using it for good. You're using it to take your pain and turning it into purpose for millions of people. And that is what it's all about.
And the more that we recognize that it is him, and we meet individuals where they are, love. If we just love our brother and sister as we love ourselves. And that's the thing, is when we meet individuals where they are, they see this the goodness and the kindness, and they know there's more, and they seek it in their own individual journeys. And we never force anything on anyone, let alone our faith. But make no mistake, Christ is the only thing that broke every chain in my life, and who continuously works on behalf of me and our ministry. Because when we put him first, not a man, when we don't put a job first, when we put nothing else first but him, when we put God first and make him the only God of our life, you watch and see what happens. Blessing after blessing and door after door opens of opportunity. You will land on top when you anchor yourself and tether yourself into the cornerstone, the foundation, which is Christ.
You got it, girl. Amen. Love it. Love it. You said something else, and I'm trying to get like flashback to these comments. You keep throwing little golden nuggets that I want people to really grasp. And I have one at the tip of my tongue, and it's driving me crazy because I can't remember it. But so I'm going to have you kind of, I don't want to wrap things up. I could literally talk to you all day long about this and let you do your thing because you have such a powerful message. I absolutely love it. I do want to talk a little bit more about your ranch. Tell them about it. Tell for people that are out there that might have, you know, who do you accept? How do you find people? Who can come to you? Where are you? Talk about, give me 5 minutes. Tell us about that.
Well, we are in Fort Myers, Florida. But remember, because of Zoom capability, I can be everywhere. So I travel around the country, whether it's virtually or whether it's in person, doing these presentations, empowering women's presentations. I do them on trauma. So I'll be happy to come and speak. It's powerful. The room is not the same after I leave because it's not me, it's God. Okay, I'm just a girl from the trailer park. But the Lord, when I show up, he shows up in a mighty way, and people get delivered and set free and healed. And I don't know, it's him. I'm in awe a lot of times. I'm like, did you hear that? I even go back and listen to my own podcast because I'm like, Lord, he speaks through me. And I'm just like, wow, okay, let me go back and uplift myself, you know? So he started also Reflective Hour podcast and YouTube with Tammy Tawny Butler. And that helps to scale what we're doing as well. And I also have daily devotionals that I send out. So people can go to reflectivespacesministry.com and they can, you know, listen, look at the blogs. They can sign up you know, be contacted by us and sign up for those things. And as far as our ranch, we have certain criteria of who we work with, victims of violence, any type of trauma, whether it's financial crimes, human trafficking, childhood sexual assault, child trafficking, any of those things. So individuals can contact me. I'll be happy to pray with them, see where it goes, you know, and work with them. I also can work with them via Zoom. And then when I believe that we need to take it to the next level, then I will make a point to go to where they are, or they can come here to the ranch, and we can do a day retreat. We can do a 3-day retreat, or a lot of times we can do a 5 to 6 day retreat, depending on what's going on, where we are in our ministry. We're fluid. I follow God. I do exactly what the Holy Spirit says to me and whispers to me. And so we just meet the needs where they are at that time, and whatever individual. We have housed a survivor in our tiny home, which we also double as a retreat cabin. So depending on whether there's someone living in there for emergency housing or whether it is available for the retreats. But I can work with anybody, you know, in the day, and they can just give us a call. So they can email me at info@reflectivespacesministry.com, info@reflectivespacesministry.com, and visit our website at www.reflectivespacesministry.com. And I'm very approachable. They can find me.
Okay. And for all the people out there listening, if you're driving, if you're doing something, if you're at work, don't stress writing it down. It will all be in the show notes, all of the links, everything she mentioned. So you'll be able to get hold of Tammy. Don't worry about that. And I love it. I love what you do. I love that you took your pain and turned it into purpose. You said you went through this journey. I mean, you lost your father when you were 16. So I'm assuming you stayed with your mother until you were 18. So this literally went for 12 years. Did you get out right when you were 18?
Well, there was a lot of things that happened along the way. The one there was a babysitter that I was opened up because we got free babysitting. And then there was the stepfather, which it was more than child molestation. It was child rape, but it was actual sexual exploitation and human trafficking. And then after that, and he went off to prison, there was another relationship that I got involved in, again, recognizing a situation to where my mother did not protect me in that. and I was around 15, 16, and I got pregnant. And so there was a lot, fought my way through that, still managed to get through college, get through a high school, even though they looked down upon that, and got my diploma. But there was many avenues of victimization, and I left home, I think around that 17 age to 18. Whenever I
Okay.
was able to legally go, I left. And then I still, then I repeated the cascade, right, of trauma. So I got into a marriage. My first marriage failed, and that was a whole nother story. And now I'm married to an amazingly wonderful man who is a better man than I'm a woman. I mean, he helps me on the ranch. He's such a good man. And realizing that the choices that I made back then based on survival set me on a pathway of destruction, but I couldn't even see it because I had a veil over my eyes, and it was a veil of trauma. And so when we lift that off, and I lift it off of everybody today listening to this, so that you can truly see and open your heart to what true healing and freedom looks like.
Absolutely. And like you said, when you're in survival mode, when you're living in trauma, when you're doing all of that, that's not you. That's not who you are. That's just what you've been conditioned and programmed to think, do, and believe. And yeah, you need to escape that. You need to get out of that. And as you said, there's only one way to do that. And I love that. I love that that's the message that you spread. So if you could leave our listeners with one piece of advice, some words of wisdom, or something from Tammy Tony Butler, what would it be?
Well, I would have to take a little something, even from Kenneth Hagin. He used to really, he loves to talk. He did talk on faith in his ministry. But Mark 11, 23 to 24, it says, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt it in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them." Speak life over yourselves. Recognize that you can speak to that mountain of trauma, that mountain of credit card debt, that mount, whatever it is you're facing, mountain of homelessness, mountain of addiction. And you can say, "Get behind me, Satan. Be cast into the sea, because the word of God says this. And I'm going to believe the word of God. Because every time I do, I wind up on top. I'm going to believe the word of God. Never backing down from my faith. Being strong, recognize that the victory is yours. You grasp it, you take it, you walk in it. Because this is your year. This is your year. This is your minute. This is your day. Today, we take back everything that they took from us. We are victorious. That's what I would.
Love. Oh, I love it. I absolutely love it. Girl, we're gonna have to have you back because that was fun. Yeah. Like I said, I could talk to you all day long. But thank you so much for coming. And maybe we will have you back. We'll talk some more because I'm sure you've been through so much that so many of the different topics that we bring up and the things that we talk about and the hope and the healing, and it's all relevant and you have a powerful message. So I'm sure we'll have you back.
Oh, Tammy, thank you. I would be honored. And thank you for all your guests that are listening, and you're touching so many individuals. And I thank you for honoring the call that was placed on your life.
You as well. And for everybody out there, another amazing story of hope and healing. And we know what we can all attribute it to and who we can give the credit to. Have a blessed day. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining me today on the Adult Child of Dysfunction podcast. If this episode resonated with you, or you think someone else could benefit from what you heard, why not share it with someone you care about? Let's heal from our past and take back control of our lives together. If you're interested in learning more, head on over to www.tammyvincent.com for a free chapter of my book, Surviving Alcoholic Parents. While you're there, be sure to catch my invigorating seminar, Awakening Your Authentic Self. Together, we will rewrite our stories and turn trials into triumphant smiles. Until next time, keep embracing your strength, keep being you, and know that you are more than enough. You are way more than enough right here, right now.